أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
One of the serious issues that we are dealing with in our communities over here in the West especially, but I think it's a issue, I can call it a problem, that exists throughout the Muslim Ummah. And I think I can see plenty of people that are witnesses to this. And that is the issue of marriage. I know plenty of people, anywhere I go, that different ages, starting from 18, 19, all the way up to 28, 9, 30, 30-something, of people struggling with the issue of marriage. Marriage is a very important institution in Islam. One of the aspects of marriage which is very important is maintaining the marriage. And what happens after marriage that leads to divorce. These two discussions and concepts, marriage and divorce, are very closely linked. It's very unfortunate that in our communities out here, divorce has become very, very common. On one hand, you're dealing with youth who are trying to get married. On the other hand, you're dealing with youth who, after a few months, a year, a couple of years, they're seeking a way out of that marriage. Okay. And usually the sisters trying to find a way to get out of the marriage that they were, or they accepted and agreed with. Now, if you remember, we said that we're trying to, inshallah, in starting with tonight until Tuesday night, which is the last night that we'll be here with you, inshallah, we want to do a little bit of tafsir and talk about some of the verses of the Holy Quran. Going through the surahs, the names of the surahs, obviously we're going to have to choose a shorter surah of the Holy Quran. Going through the names, one name of the surah attracted my attention because of this, and it's a topic that I think I haven't discussed much, and that is Surah At-Talaq. The surah that the name is divorce. I don't know if you paid attention or not, but we don't have a surah that's called marriage in the Holy Quran. But we do have a surah that's called Talaq, divorce. It's a very important discussion. We need to get a few things right about it, inshallah, trying to benefit from this surah. Of course, that's not the only subject that exists in this surah. There's a couple of other things, a couple of other discussions that inshallah we'll try to cover in this surah. We can categorize the verses and the discussions that we'll have in this surah into three. One of those discussions is obviously what the name of the surah is, Talaq. Then there's a verse, or I should say a couple of verses, that talk about the concept of taqwa in a very interesting way. That it's pretty much the only time you find, the only place you find it discussed in this way is this surah of the Holy Quran. You don't find it mentioned in this way anywhere else. And the last part of that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the surah, starts to warn people about the punishments that he has. And we'll have to relate all three subjects, inshallah. So recite a salawat, please. I'll give an overview of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah up to verse 7 talks about the practical laws of talaq. Before getting into that, we need to know the Holy Quran does not go over the details of ahkam usually. That's not the purpose of this book. If you are looking for the details of the ahkam, they're usually mentioned in hadith, not in the Holy Quran. You get the main principles in the Holy Quran. Because if you want to have all the details of the ahkam in the Holy Quran, it would be this huge book. I don't know if has any of you seen Wasa'il al-Shia or Bihar al-Anwar? Wasa'il al-Shia, basically, most of it is ahkam. And the most concise print is about 20 volumes. Okay, the Quran is supposed to be a book of guidance that we can read. This book, we can read. We mentioned somewhere, reminds me, about reciting the Holy Quran from beginning to end. Khatmul Quran is something, I don't know how accustomed we are to that out here. Okay, when you read the ahadith, I said in a session, we have some scary hadith about recitation of the Holy Quran. Because, I mean, it's difficult to even say it, much less practice it. It says to try to recite the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan, every 3-4 days, finish one round of the recitation of the Holy Quran and start all over again. So that'll be about 10 rounds or a little less. If you do every 3 days, that'll be approximately 10 rounds. That's how we're supposed to recite the Holy Quran. If it was 20 volumes, how long would it take to recite this? It wouldn't be a book for people to look into constantly. It gives us the main elements of practice, but also a lot of other things as well. Our beliefs. Tawheed, that is even focused even more than the ahkam are. About maybe a third or even less of the verses of the Holy Quran deal with ahkam. A lot more of it deals with the more fundamental principles, the aqa'id. And some of it deals with akhlaq and how we are supposed to treat one another and the ethics. Now, the verses of this surah, when they are discussing the concept of talaq, they deal with the practical laws related to it. We have the concept of talaq, this discussion, in some of the other verses of the Holy Quran. This surah discusses some of those practical laws. But the way it mentions it, it also gives us an idea of part of the philosophy why some of these rulings are the way they are. Okay, and that's something we're going to try to benefit from, inshallah. So up to verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these practical laws, with the exception of verse 3, which is the verse that talks about taqwa in that very special way that we mentioned. And we'll see what that actually means. Verse 3 and the beginning of, or the end of verse 2. Then from verse 7 onwards, or actually from verse 8 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about punishment. And we'll see the relationship between the verses of talaq and the concept of punishment that is mentioned there towards the end. Now the verses themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ وَأَحْصُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيَّنَةٍ وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ لَا تَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. O Prophet, the address starts with Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. It's interesting. I didn't find a very precise clue of why this time the address begins with addressing the Holy Prophet. Because a lot of times the verses begin with Ya Ayyuhan Nas or Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu, do such and such, or don't do, or refrain from this. This is what you need to believe in, and so on and so forth. Some of the verses start with Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. Usually there's something in particular or something special about it that it starts with the Holy Prophet. I haven't found that clue. If I find it, I'll let you know what that is. But you got to look for some clue. Nothing in the Holy Quran is there without a reason. Every single word, every single combination of words, there's got to be a reason behind it. You got to look for a reason. So anyway, it begins like that, addressing the Prophet. Then, when it comes to the command, it starts addressing the believers. It turns plural. إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. But it's masculine, okay? Because talaq, according to Islam, is something that the man has got control of. إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. If you divorce the women, فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. Then divorce them for their iddah, the time, the period of time that they need to be in the iddah. Then it says wa ahsul iddah, and count, measure the iddah that they're supposed to be in. Wattaqu Allaha rabbakum, be God fearing, fear your Lord, practice the taqwa of Allah. La tukhrijuhunna, and then it translates. Usually when you have this, it says ittaqullah, and then it gives a particular practice. That first emphasis that it makes generally to say be pious is to emphasize the ruling that is to come after it. Here you have this. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إِلَّا يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. You don't have the right, and you are not allowed to make them leave their homes during that time, and they're not allowed to leave their home, the women, your wives that you've divorced, during the time of the iddah. You are not allowed to make them leave the house, and they are not allowed to leave the house. They have to stay in that house. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Look at the emphasis. First, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ. Then, لَا تُخْرِجُهُنَّ. It gives the ruling. You don't kick them out of the house, they're not allowed to leave. And then again, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the boundaries of God. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. And whoever trespasses, whoever crosses the red lines, the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put for practice, فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. They have oppressed themselves. لَا تَدْرِي. Then it says, try to think, okay. When you're reciting the Holy Quran, one of the important things that we have, Amir al-Mu'mineen says this in one of the ahadith, it says, لا خير في قراءة ليس فيها تدبر. There's no good, the way the wording is, I'll explain. There's no good in recitation that there's no contemplation in. If you don't contemplate and try to think about the verses, it's useless. Of course, we have other ahadith that recitation in and of itself, just reading it, and if you don't understand a word of it, is beneficial. Putting these two, I've always emphasized, I emphasize this again, we cannot take one hadith and say, oh, this is Islam, all right? Amir al-Mu'mineen says, لا خير في قراءة ليس فيها. Stop reciting the Quran. What is this idea? I hear this. Or was in the Bay Area, somebody was saying, what is this idea of reciting the Quran when juz was not even invented at the time of the Prophet? This is later on and things like that. Why are you doing one juz a day and so on and so forth? Leave that dude like a few ayahs and then think about it and translate and things like that. No. You can't take one hadith and say, okay, this is Islam, all right. You have to put all of them together and come up with a conclusion and say, okay, this is what Islam. We have other very clear hadith. Even looking at the Quran has got blessings, much less reading it, okay, and reciting it. No, that means when you compare recitation that includes contemplation to recitation that is just recitation, the value of recitation with contemplation, it's so much higher that the other one compared to it is like it has no khayr. That's what this hadith means. It's emphasizing basically the concept of contemplating the verses of the Holy Quran. So now back to the verse. Try to think about these phrases, these sentences, and the relationship between them. It says, okay, when you divorce the women, divorce them with the iddah. Then count the iddah. Second ruling. Then emphasis begins. اتقوا الله ربكم. What's the next ruling? Don't make them leave the house. They are not allowed to leave the house. Then another emphasis. These are the boundaries of Allah. Do not trespass. And at the end, لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا. You do not know, maybe that God will do something after that. I'm paraphrasing here. What's the relationship between these different sentences? What does that have to do with one another? Are they just broken up sentences? We can't figure out what's going on here? There's actually a very interesting connection. If you see, the verse is not even talking about the talaq in and of itself. It's talking about a particular dimension of divorce. And that dimension of divorce is the iddah there. It's not saying who has the right for divorce, who doesn't, how. That hasn't been discussed yet. What is being discussed in this verse is the iddah. You need to make sure the talaq is with the iddah. What is the iddah? We'll talk about that later. But it's basically a period of time that they're kind of in a limbo. They're not husband and wife, but they are husband and wife. They are and they aren't. There are certain responsibilities that exist. The husband has got to provide. They have to provide the shelter, food, clothing, and all of that. And obviously we just read, she has got to stay in the house. She can't leave that house and say, I want to live somewhere else. And the guy can't make her do that. But intimate contact is not going to be, it's not that it's not allowed, okay? But it's going to end that period of limbo. They're going to be married, a married couple again. It's going to nullify that divorce. Okay, if there is any form of intimate contact, it's not haram during the time of the iddah. Anything is going to bring them back to the marriage. They're going to be a married couple again. All right. Now keep that in mind. Emphasis on that span of time. And then it says, make sure, a lot of emphasis on this, make sure you don't get them out of your house. And they don't leave the house. There's nothing that is emphasized as strongly as this. And then at the end it says, you don't know, what do you know? Maybe God is going to bring about something. What is this trying to tell us? I'll read a hadith so we can try to understand this. Recite the salawat, please.
Allah.
In a very reliable hadith, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi quotes the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Okay, I know we've had a long day and we're all tired, including myself. I think you can see it on my face. Okay. But, you know, you got to give me energy here. Give me a loud salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He says, tazawwaju wa zawwiju. Marry, you youth, get married, all right? Get married. I don't know what is taking you so long, all right? It's not as difficult as you make it seem. Seriously, it's not. It is not as difficult as you make it. Now, I'm not talking about marriage too much right now, but think about it and be serious about it. I hate it when people say, we're trying, but it's not working. How long have you been trying for? 5 years. Well, there's something wrong there, all right? If you're trying for 5 years and it's not working, there's something seriously wrong there, okay? You either don't know what serious means, okay, or you got a serious problem. Tazawwaju wa zawwiju, and help others get married. Help others get married. Help in the right way though. If you want to introduce anybody to anyone else, be very, very careful how you introduce them. Because your words may carry a lot of weight and you may get people into serious problems. Because they may trust you and you say, yeah, I know this person, he's the best guy on earth. Then the sister gets married and then she doesn't have any way out, right? She can't get the, you know, she can't do the divorce herself unless she can, well, it's a long story how that can happen. But anyway, and they're like, why in the world did I listen to this guy? Be very careful how you introduce people and how you help that out. تَزَوَّجُوا وَزَوَّجُوا أَلَا فَمَنْ مِنْ حَظِّ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ إِنْفَاقُ قِيمَةِ أَيِّمَةٍ وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ بَيْتٍ يُعْمَرْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِالنِّكَاحِ. I want to emphasize on this passage here. First he talks about like paying for the, you know, marriage ceremony and all of that. There's nothing that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a house that is built in Islam with nikah, with marriage. There's nothing like it. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the institution of marriage. Now, it doesn't end there. It says, وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَبْغَضْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ بَيْتٍ يُخْرَبْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْفُرْقَةِ يعني الطلاق. There is nothing that is as disliked as a house being destroyed in Islam with furqa, meaning separation and divorce. Divorce is, they call it the worst, and أَبْغَضُ حَلَالٍ. It's something that is allowed. We have the verses of the Holy Quran. But it is something that is despised as a last resort, as something that there's no way but to have it, but it would have been better if we didn't have it, but there's no way but to have it. Okay, something like that. It's, you can't have society without allowing divorce, and you can't have it constantly in divorce. I mean, that's the last resort. There's nothing that is hated and disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a house that is messed up and destroyed in Islam with separation and divorce. And then it says, that was the narration that the Imam gives from the Holy Prophet. Then the Imam himself says, قال أبو عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الله عز وجل إنما وكد في الطلاق وكرر فيه القول من بغضه الفرقة. reason why he has talked about talaq so much and he's made the emphasis that he has is because he dislikes separation so much. Now, how does that tie into the verse? Recite the salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Try to think about, I want you to reach the conclusion yourself on your own. First of all, it doesn't say divorce women. It says, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءِ. If you have to, and it comes to a situation where you have to divorce. Okay. فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. You have to do it the right way. You can't just choose, wherever you get angry, no matter what, just divorce. No. طَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. It's got to be with the عِدَّة. وَأَحْصُ الْعِدَّة. Start calculating. You got to make the count correctly. Make sure the conditions that will follow. We're going to talk about it when we get to the verses of the that span of time, that interval of time. That is called the عِدَّة. Just count that, keep account of that. Then the emphasis, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِن بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. Unless they bring this thing called فَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ, which I'll discuss maybe tomorrow night, because I don't want to take any more than 30 minutes tonight on our talk, since everybody's tired, including myself. We'll leave that fahishatin mubayyana, which is something very interesting. The sisters are not going to like me after I mention one of the examples of that fahishatin mubayyana. But doesn't matter, inshallah. We'll talk about that tomorrow night, inshallah. Then, وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهِ لَا تَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. All the emphasis there is this. First of all, talaq is something that God does not like. He wants the institution of marriage to remain. When couples get married, that family should stick together, remain as a family. That building block of society, that if kept healthy, all of society is going to be healthy in all ways. It's very important. We neglect this, brothers and sisters. That has got to be preserved. And talaq is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. All right? Now, since there's no way, okay, sometimes, yes, God doesn't want people to live a life of, that is basically not life, you know, it's just hell. It just doesn't work, all right? He doesn't want people to do that. All right, if nothing works, you have this divorce, says, you know what, there is an interval of time between when that divorce takes place and when you're actually going to be separated and you're not considered husband and wife anymore. A lot of emphasis on this. And then about this period of time, she has no right to leave and say, I don't like you anymore, I want to leave and live in another house. And you have no right to kick her out. She has to stay there. And most of the emphasis of the verse is on this part. And then the last part of the verse explains why. It says, لَا تَدْرِي, you don't know, لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. Something happened, they reached the conclusion that this is not going to work out. The guy said, okay, you know what? أنت طالق. Okay, I divorced you. With the right conditions. Because if it's not with the عِدَّة, the first part of the verse, then it's not even going to count. Alright. He says, how do you know? Maybe God brings about something in this family that He's able to preserve this family. The whole idea of the عِدَّة and the emphasis of staying in the house is that, okay, you know, they were husband and wife. A divorce has happened here. God doesn't want to end it. No, we're going to give them a chance. They have to accept this chance. You have to accept this chance. You can't say, I don't like it, forget it, I'm gonna go. No. You have to stay together. You see one another at breakfast, at noon. You keep, you know, you start. Maybe it works again. That's the purpose here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do everything to make sure that the marriage is preserved. Now, something that is not explicitly mentioned in this verse, but with what we explained, we should reach the conclusion. I'm already done with the 30 minutes that I promised I won't take any more, but I'll introduce the topic. We'll talk about it tomorrow night. There's a question that is raised, especially out here, and we face, I mean, we like people who have to answer these questions, especially in Q&A sessions, have got a very serious difficulty to try to put this forward and make people understand this. And that is, why has Islam only given the right of divorce to the husband? Okay. And women don't have the right to divorce. And a lot of women would like to have that right. Not just today. This is something you find in the ahadith as well. Back in the old times, before this whole concept of feminism, there's one of the companions comes and says, this lady has said, look, I don't want dowry, but I want control of two things. One of them I won't mention. The second one is divorce. I want to have control of divorce. And the guy gets married. The imam says that she has gone against the sunnah. The sunnah is, no, don't say I don't want dowry. You take that dowry, okay? The mahr has got to be there. And the control of those two things, both of them, is with the man. Now, that's what the sunnah is. How is that? What we explained tonight kind of opens the way and the door for us to try to contemplate and understand why that is, but I'll leave that for tomorrow night, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that He deepens our understanding of the Holy Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all the youth get married, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help families resolve their problems so it doesn't end in divorce, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of His close companions. We ask Him to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja and especially the leader. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, our parents, all those who have taught us the word in Islam of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month that He relieves all the people who are facing difficulties, especially the people in Pakistan that are faced with the flood, and also people who are facing oppression, people in the occupied lands in Iraq and Afghanistan and other parts of the world, inshallah. Bin Nabiya wa ala rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.